I want to share with you this morning, before we talk about shining our light, I want to share with you a reflection on the Beatitudes, those blessed sayings, esteemed sayings of Jesus from Matthew 5, 1 to 12. This is written by Nadia Boltz-Weber. She's a Lutheran pastor who's become a going concern in North America because of her insistence on reaching out and tangibly extending the love and the welcome, the blessing of Jesus Christ to all, especially when the all makes us uncomfortable. So I got the chance to visit Nadia's church in Denver a while ago. She's not the pastor there anymore. But it is an eclectic mix of people. People you might not expect to see in polite company, let alone the church. People in varying degrees of sobriety. People in varying degrees of gender expression. Divorced people, married people, successful people, failed people, people. And they're all welcome. I want to share Pastor Nadia's blessing with you today. She writes, "Maybe the Sermon on the Mount is all about Jesus' lavish blessing of the people around him on that hillside who his world, not unlike ours, didn't seem to have much time for. People in pain, people who work for peace instead of for profit, people who exercise mercy instead of vengeance. Maybe Jesus was simply blessing the ones around him that day who didn't otherwise ever receive blessing, who had come to believe that for them, blessings would never be in the cards. I mean, come on, doesn't that just sound like something that Jesus would do? Extravagantly throwing around blessings as though they grew on trees. And so I imagine Jesus standing among us, offering some new beatitudes. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are those who doubt, those who aren't sure, who can still be surprised. Blessed are they who are spiritually impoverished and therefore not so certain about everything that they can no longer take in new information. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are the preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are the ones who carry on conversation during the sermon. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are they for whom death is not far off or an abstraction. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. And blessed are those who grieve the smaller deaths of this life. Blessed are they who say goodbye to good friends. Blessed are they who journey forward from the work life into retired life. Blessed are they whose bodies don't work like they once did. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried, the spouses of the disappeared. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are those whose knees creak and their backs groan, for they know well the cost of a life of prayer. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who, after all this time, still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who mourn. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who no one else notices. The kids with the tics who no one knows what to make of. The middle schoolers who sit alone at lunch tables. The laundry staff at the hospital. And the attendants of the 24-hour drive-thrus making minimum wage. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. Blessed are the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the cuts or bruises on their arms. Blessed are the meek. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is difficult, the ones who don't have powerful or influential friends. For Jesus chose to surround himself with people just like you. Blessed are those without documentation or education. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are foster kids and special ed kids and every kind of kid who just wants to feel safe and appreciated and loved. Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of their neighbors. Blessed are the burned out and underappreciated teachers, nurses, social workers, the pro bono case takers, and the snow angels. Blessed are the generous and kind-hearted hockey players. Blessed even are the fundraising trophy wives. Blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the bullied. Blessed are those bullies who hear that they are forgiven. Blessed is everyone who's ever forgiven me or you when we didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful because they totally get it. I imagine Jesus standing here blessing us all because I believe that it is our Lord's nature to bless, to love extravagantly. Because after all, it was Jesus who had all the powers of the universe at his disposal, but did not consider his equality with God as something to be exploited or capitalized upon. Instead, Jesus came to us in the most vulnerable of ways, as a powerless, flesh and blood newborn. As if to say, you all may hate your bodies, but I am choosing to bless all human flesh. You may admire strength and might, but I am blessing all human flesh. Weakness. You may seek after, lust after, and hoard up power, but I am blessing all human dependence and vulnerability. This Jesus, whom we follow, cried at the tomb of his friend and turned the other cheek and forgave those, even those who hung him on a cross. Because he never forgot who he was. Because before he did any of that, Jesus rose from the water of the River Jordan and heard that blessing for him. You are my son. In you I am well pleased. And now Jesus, rooted in that strong identity, shares with us. Because Jesus was and is still God's beatitude, God's blessing. God's blessing to the weak in this world that admires only the strong. And so God bless you. Can I get the children to come and help me now? And the first thing that we want to do is we want to make sure everyone has a candle. And I will tell you when it's time to light the candles. So can you each take two or three candles and pass them out? Keep coming until everyone has a candle. Okay? So take two or three and then take them back to the people in your rows. Beautiful. Thank you. Both sides. Let's make sure both sides get them. Good. Keep passing them out. Lots on this side that still need one. Yeah. Good. If you don't have a candle, if you just wave a hand so that they can see you. Look at all these new ushers we have. Woohoo! So kids, if you see a hand waving, that's a hand that still needs a candle. If you see any hands wave, oh, thank you. Wonderful. All right. Does anyone see a candle that's lit? Aha. Do you know what this candle is called? This is the Christ candle. You will notice at Christmas and Easter, whenever we light candles, always it's from the Christ candle. And that's to remind us that we share this light, but it's not ours. It doesn't belong to us. We didn't invent it or create it. It belongs to God. And what does God want to do with it? Share it. Right, so let's very carefully, especially when we're walking, we have to go slow because we don't want to drip wax on anyone. So do we remember how we share God's light? So once your candle is lit, I want you to very slowly go and start to share that light with the others that are sitting. Thank you. Our gospel today ends on a somewhat potentially fearful note. Jesus saying, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. I love two things about that potentially fearful word. One, the people who are least righteous are not excluded from the kingdom. They are considered least in the kingdom, but they are not excluded. Okay. And so when everybody's candles are lit, I see one there that's unlit, then you can keep your candle lit, but go back and sit with your family. Good. Wonderful. The other thing I love about that potentially fearsome word is that, although it doesn't say it here, the rest of the gospel bears this out. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees were not black hat bad guys. They were people who need to learn some of the clarification that Jesus was giving around how to best understand the law and the prophets. But these were esteemed, respected, educated, some of the pillars of their communities. They were righteous. So who has hope to be more righteous than those professionally religious people? The answer is no one. But thanks be to God, the gospel is this: your righteousness, finally, the kind of righteousness that God requires and insists upon, is not the righteousness that comes from our actions. It's the righteousness we've just acted out. It's God's righteousness. It belongs to God. It's created by God. It's sustained and maintained and propagated by God. And we get to share in it. Not because we earn it or buy it or deserve it, but because it's God's character and heart to share that light. Just like we said in the children's time, the culminating piece of baptism, where we're assured that we are blessed forever, because when our God makes a promise, God, our God, does not relinquish that promise or give up on it. Not ever. Not ever. So the way we seal the deal is to say, this blessing is secure, but it's not supposed to be locked up in a safe. So we pass a candle, unlit, to the newly baptized, and then we light it, and we say, if you remember it, say it with me, let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works and glorify your Father, our Father in heaven. It's not by accident, friends, that shine is our mission statement. It's all about our baptismal identity, not locked away in a safe. We receive the righteousness of God poured out as gift through the life and death, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so we share that good news, that light that we have received. We share it gently, not forcing it on other people and so pouring hot wax over them. But we hold our light that doesn't belong to us, but has been entrusted to us for a time. We hold our light boldly high. We let it shine in ways that others can be drawn to, in ways that others can borrow from. We share that good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of God's love, God's blessing poured out over everyone. We say that together, over everyone. And we honor the living God. We honor the living God by gathering together in a world that seems to be increasingly dark, where we live in North America in an epidemic of loneliness and fearfulness, and people are acting out that loneliness and fearfulness, that anxiety, in increasingly bonkers ways. We gather together to honor the living God and to hear from God and to remind one another that the way of this world is not God's way, that there is a better way, a higher way, a more loving way. So we do that in worship and in sharing peace that takes a while to share, in eating together and blessing one another, in crying with one another and celebrating with one another. We honor the living God. And we ignite hope and compassion. We light up candles that aren't previously lit. And when someone comes along and blows out my candle, or when just life does, I can rely on the community. Whew. It gets a little messy, but I can rely on the community to ignite that hope and compassion together again. Along the way, we're nurturing community. Nurturing it, growing it, not just preserving it, not just making sure that this little church stays open for the next 50 years, but extending our reach into the neighborhood, growing community, feeding it, making it stronger. And that leads into our equipping. We equip with faith for daily living, not so we can make our church more influential, not so that we can control more people, but doing what we see Jesus doing, investing in other people, people who as of yet don't have a lot of power or prestige or knowledge or influence, investing in other people to make them disciples that can stand on their own two feet. Never alone, because we're called together in this, but now mature. We are constantly recruiting, not so that we can have more impressive worship stats, not so we can have a bigger, more secure budget. We are constantly recruiting because we know the joy of being asked to share in Jesus' ministry of sharing light. We know that joy, and we want to give that joy away until all of our families, all of our neighborhoods, all of our schools, all of our workplaces, until all the world is bathed in the light of God. And so let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works. Not that your good works earn God's favor or approval. Not that they make us more righteous. Our good works matter simply because we live in a dark world, and our good works help to spread the light that doesn't belong to us. Let others see your good works so that they will see the Father and give glory to God through them. Amen.
It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around are warming in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, it's fresh like spring. You want to sing, you want to pass it on. We wish for you, our friends, this happiness that we found. You can depend on Him. It matters not where you're bound. Oh, shout it from the mountaintop. Oh, world, we want you to know the Lord of love has come to us, and we want to pass it on.
So I invite you to remain seated as we sing our hymn of the day, and sing along or meditate on your light. Let's ask together how God is calling each of us and all of us together to spread this light we've received, this light we're so thankful for. Maybe it's to an individual that's particularly on your mind or heart. Maybe it's just being a little bolder in your service. We trust God to show us the way.